Mr. Rivas? Mr. Rivas?
Yes.
Okay, Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse is going to be conducting.
Actually, who has a phone?
What else, please?
Mr. Luis Canales is going to be conducting your hearing this afternoon, sir.
Mr. Rivas, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Alberto Rivas, Jr.
Your ADC number, sir?
153855.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 15, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Rivas?
That's correct.
That form listed your hearing rights?
Pardon me?
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I would like to have an attorney there.
Well, if you want an attorney, it won't be appointed to you by the government. You'd have to hire an attorney. If you want to hire an attorney, we can delay this hearing to a later date.
Would it be bad?
It's your choice, so I can't advise you. All I'm saying is if you have the means of hiring an attorney, you have that right. But this isn't a criminal trial where the government can appoint an attorney to you. You either have to hire an attorney or represent yourself. So what do you choose?
It would be best if I could have it there, but since the means are there.
Well, sir, I'm not going to advise you. I'll say it again. You can have an attorney represent you, but you have to hire one at your expense. So if you want to do that, we can delay this hearing.
How about we just go along with this whole process?
Okay. Again, I am, in not so many words, looking out for your rights right now. So I want to make sure that you're okay with that decision.
All right.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'll just state this again. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'll represent myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. You cannot see us, as this is a telephonic hearing, but on the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, Mr. Rivas, I need to swear you and your supporters in, and I will make sure that I have the right names here, but will both of you be speaking today? Both of you, okay. And who is Norma Jean Rivas? Okay. And Guadalupe Rivas? Okay, so I'll swear everyone at the same time. So, beginning with you, Mr. Rivas on the telephone, and then also Ms. Norma Jean Rivas and Guadalupe Rivas, as well as Mr. Wesby. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm? Mr. Rivas?
Yes.
Do you solemnly swear?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure that everyone's on the same sheet of music. Okay, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, but phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, Mr. Rivas, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. I will now read from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a criminal leisure company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to submit an oral swab on or about February 23rd, 2018, as verbally directed on February 23rd, 2018. Mr. Rivas, is this true or false?
false.
Okay. Being as that you stated false, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to shortly for a few questions. But keep in mind, this is only the first phase of the hearing, okay, sir?
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Westby.
On February 23rd, 2018, the offender Rivas Alberto, ABC number 153855, appointed a person in Northeast Borough Office and was staffed by Senior Parole Officer Osborne regarding his discharge from the CHC for his delusional thoughts and behavior. During the staffing, the offender was questioned as to why he had been discharged from the program. The offender began to state that he had been cursed by someone while incarcerated and claims he had been seeking help from a medicine man in order to be cured. The offender kept pointing to the palms of his hands and attempting to show us the letters on there. He kept mentioning how this curse is affecting his personal life. During the staffing, the offender was directed by Senior Parole Officer Osborne to take an oral swab. At this point, the offender refused and asked SPL Osborne if he had a search warrant. The offender was reminded that he is required, per his conditions of supervision, to submit drug testing in by urine and saliva, and a warrant is not required. The offender was directed two times to submit a saliva sample, and most times he refused. The offender was then placed in handcuffs for refusing to follow directives. Due to the offender refusing directives, the offender was returned to custody. On February 22, 2018, CCO Escarcega received an email from Carol Coughlin from CHC stating the following. Offender A. Rebus is in need of a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation due to the following. He consistently demonstrates flight of thought, flight of ideas, rapid pressured speech, fixed paranoid delusions, and a general inability to comprehend and complete exercises. He also cannot stay focused and appears to be in a manic state, bordering on psychosis at times, thinking someone attempted to poison him in prison, and that he currently sees letters on his hands. Personal boundaries are extremely limited, and he often exhibits intrusive behavior to staff in the form of walking into offices uninvited and interrupting staff while working. His opinion of myself, my colleagues, that he can easily be volatile while in a manic delusional state. We have noticed an increase in unpredicted thought process and delusional thinking over the past 2 weeks. We do not believe that outpatient treatment is appropriate for him at this time and will be discharging him. Please inform the offender that he will no longer be required to attend CHC. On February 22, 2018, CCO Escarcega spoke to the offender telephonically in regards to not having to attend CHC classes. During the phone conversation, the offender stated he didn't speak with me and began with mentioning that one of his relatives cast a spell on him while he was incarcerated. The offender states he was slipped in mayonnaise when he received commissary. He continues to state that he went ahead and obtained help from a medicine man and it will cost him $3,000 for the medicine man to cure him of the spell. Stating that he was informed that if he didn't take care of the spell, it could cause him to die.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Rivas. For the first phase of the hearing, what is false about that allegation?
Once again, can you repeat yourself?
We're in the first phase of this hearing. What is false about the allegation?
It's not true.
What's not true, sir?
The whole statement.
Meaning that you... and again, I'm not a clinician, I'm not a physician or a psychologist. You're saying that you weren't the way you were described by the individuals at CHC?
Once again, it was not true, and there was no response to this, you know? There's nothing to say, you know, period.
Well, so... ultimately, the allegation is your refusal to submit to an oral swab. So did you refuse to submit to an oral swab?
Once again, I repeated myself, I was no.
Okay, sir, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass through the first phase of this hearing, and that is based on information provided to us by the Department of Corrections, as well as information in warrant number 2018-W0526. I move to find Mr. Rivas delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Rivas, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. It is during this phase that the board will decide whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Westby.
On December 18, 2017, Mr. Rivas was released from DOC. He was arrested February 23, 2018 by DOC staff, known in charges. He was back in DOC custody that same day, but was rejected CACD of March 16, 2019, 0 absconding. Current conviction, 2012, aggravated assault, 2 counts, each for 7 years. 2012, criminal trespass, first degree, 5 years, 9 months. His prior convictions in 2000 for disorderly conduct, 1 year. 2000, burglary tools possession, 1 year. 2000, burglary second degree, 2 counts, each for 8 years. 2001, promoted prison contraband, 9 years, 3 months. This is his third term at DOC, CUIR score 3-4, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. STG gang information notes, he is a New Mexican Mafia, Arizona STG suspect and a Glendale STG suspect. Prior terms of supervision, 2009, TAS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are significant, with drugs, violence, and weapons noted. Other arrest, 1998, aggravated assault, Arizona County Jail. 2000, drug paraphernalia, Arizona County Jail. 2010, drug paraphernalia, Arizona. Felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G6B8.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Rivas. We'll make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved residence located at 3413 West Willetta Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Is that the only place you lived when you were on community supervision?
That's correct.
Employment notes. It states that you were employed with your father, Roberto Rivas and Son Company, and is working in landscaping. You did not provide any pay stubs for employment verification, but were you working? Is that where you were working the entire time, sir?
That's correct.
Thank you. Got programming notes that you were assigned a task for random color code your analysis. You were assigned the color maroon. You were responsible for submitting urine, full urine samples on December 28th, 2017, January 30th, 2018, February 13th, 2018, and your urine samples were negative. On February 12th, 2018, your urine sample was diluted. Sir, is there a reason why your urine sample was diluted in February?
It was correct, but I went back for the last one, and it turned out to be good. I was good. I was clear the whole time.
Okay, sir. On December 29, 2017, you were referred and enrolled into CHC and was placed in one-on-one sessions with Carol Coughlin. On February 22, 2018, you received CCO Escarcega, received an email from Carol Coughlin stating that you had been discharged from CHC due to delusional thoughts and behavior, and that you did not successfully complete CHC. Now, I'm not going to press the issue. You said that that was false based on the information in the allegation, correct?
That's correct.
Sanctions notes, you were verbally directed by your sign pro officer to report in person. You were staffed by SPO Osborne due to your recent discharge from CHC for the delusional behavior and thoughts. You kept showing the palms of your hands, stating that there were letters on them. Now, If I'm not mistaken, you said that was false as well, correct?
That's correct.
And then it's pretty much restating quite a bit of what was already said during the allegations. Further into the report, there's a note that SPO Osborne stated that you were discharged due to odd behavior and actions toward staff. States you raised your voice a little louder and stated that you were out to get him and that SPO Osborne knew what he was talking about. SPO Osborne advised the defendant that he had no idea what he was talking about. And then there's a quote that says, yes, you do, you know about her, or should I say, ma'am, I'm not dealing with no damn transsexual counselor. Mr. Osborne again advised the defendant that he had no idea what he was talking about. Mr. Osborne then asked the offender if he was willing to take a swab test for illicit substances for possible drug use. And again, this speaks to you refusing to have an oral swab. And again, out of respect to you, I recognize it's one of the things that you already said was false. So, Mr. Rivas, I will begin by asking, and as I stated earlier, I'm not a physician, I'm not a psychologist or counselor, but have you had behavioral health problems in the past?
No, I actually did the evaluation, and I was clear, you know, I checked out good. I mean, all parties evaluating me, they screened me, I'm good, you know. That was the whole thing. I think there was just a misunderstanding, you know. Everything was fine. I've been clear the whole time, you know.
Okay. Now, again, I'm not trying to frustrate you. I just want to be clear on this. Because there's more than one way to answer this. But you're saying, how can I put this? The allegation states that you refused to submit to an oral swab. And are you saying that this didn't happen? Or that you refused to take the oral swab? Or, like, what's your version?
My version is, it was dumb, you know? It was just, like, a waste of trip just to put somebody back in here, you know? Okay. There was no need for this. There was no motives. Okay. That's the whole thing.
All right.
There was no grounds.
All right.
There's no grounds for this stuff, you know? That's what I was trying to get at.
Okay.
There was no ground. There was no motive. That's what had me wondering, like, what the hell was this all about? There was nothing there. I can't even give you an actual full statement because there's nothing there, you know.
Well, are you saying that someone asked you to give an oral swab and you refused to do it? Is that correct?
Pardon me?
Did someone ask you to submit to an oral swab and did you refuse to submit to the oral swab?
No.
So no one ever asked you to take an oral swab?
No.
Okay. I'm going to ask the board members if they have any questions for you.
So, when you went to your PO's office, after you went in there, you didn't do an oral swab, you went and took a UA test the next day or what?
Did I take a UA?
Yes. Hello?
Hello?
Did you take a UA, sir?
Yes, I took a UA when I was in Alhambra. I submitted all my blood work. Everything was there, you know.
And you also had one when you had the diluted. You went back the next day and took one that was negative?
Yeah, I went back the next day and I was cleared.
So, sir, when you were discharged, it says that you needed a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah, well, actually, I did one over here. I was seen by some psychologists. They came and evaluated me. I was screened, and there he told me, hey, you know, this guy's good. And he's clear, you know. I don't even know why they even put him back in here.
So when you were at the house, it says that you were delusional and that you were having some delusions.
The thing is, that was the whole misunderstanding, you know.
Well, what was
the whole thing was this unnecessary to put me back in here? That was the whole confusion, what I was trying to get at, you know?
Okay, but that was before you were put in there that they said that you need a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation.
Okay, once again, I had Officer Cohen during the arrest. He said that I was arrested But I wasn't in the building, but I was arrested in the building. So that's the whole thing where I was trying to get at. Like, why did all these folders change up if I checked in that same day?
So you're saying that you do not need a psychiatric evaluation? That's your opinion, sir? That you were not delusional while you were at the community health services?
I was discharged because they felt like I was, how do you say, seeing things that were not true, you know? That's the whole thing of what I was trying to get at. The whole point was it was not true, you know?
Okay, I'm not quite sure what you're, when you're saying the whole thing was it's not true, what are you trying to say, sir?
It was just, like I said, it was not true. It was all false. It was just a waste of trip, basically, you know?
A waste of trip where?
To put me back, you know? It was just a waste of trip, you know? It was just the funds, you know? That's pretty much how I see it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions from fellow board members?
Okay, Mr. Rivas, you have some supporters in the room, and we're going to give them an opportunity to speak to the board. So who would like to come up first?
Yes, you swear.
But yes, I did. And I'll ask. The kind lady to state her name when she gets the microphone. And Miss, if you could help her, like, move down
this. Put that right line now.
Yes, I see. Thank you, ma'am. And what would you like to share with the board today?
I know he's confused, but guys could give him a little chance, please.
He's a great man.
He's taken care of me ever since I was little girl. I don't see him as, I don't see him just as a brother, but I see him as a father figure too. And I've been taking care of my mom since she had her stroke. And you know, it's hard to do it on my own. That's why I wish I could have my brother out here to help me. Oh, I'm sorry.
I recognize this is very emotional, ma'am, and I'm sorry it has to be hard appearing before the board today. I will ask you, with respect, how many years was your brother away from you? Because it looks like he's been in the Department of Corrections a couple of different times. How many years was he away?
Well, 15 years different.
Yeah, he's been in and out, you know, he's been in and out sometimes, but he's been in and out mostly all of mine. And he was barely out 2.5 months this time. And I loved having him up here with us, you know. And we were kind of getting back that time, you know, that we missed out. And I wish to have that time again. Because I do miss him. And I need him. We need him out here with us.
Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with me?
No,
does anyone have any questions for the three of us? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for appearing for the board. Okay, Mr. Rivas, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing.
I have nothing to say.
Thank you, Mr. Rivas. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like they were speaking with you directly, especially because you're on the telephone, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a tragic and somewhat confusing case. I certainly take the information that's provided to us from community corrections officers and counselors as face value and fact, and it's a little concerning that we have such detailed information regarding Mr. Rivas's behavior from highly credible sources, and yet Mr. Rivas is pretty much denying everything that's being said. I don't know what's in Mr. Rivas's head or heart, and I don't want to go down the road of being argumentative. I wasn't there, but I do know that as one voting board member, this information is coming from very, very credible sources who work for the Department of Corrections. And as sad as this makes me feel in the face of his family support, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision. But I am certainly open to the discussion from my colleagues.
I'm kind of concerned about this when he was released from community health services, and the statement that he needed a comprehensive psychiatric evaluation, and the reasons that they listed. I'm not sure if this lady's a counselor or what her position is that she's actually there, but I think that and I don't know if the Department of Corrections can place him somewhere where he can get the psychiatric evaluation that he may need. I see that he is not due to be released for, looks like about almost another year. But I do think there's a way to get him the psychiatric evaluation. I do think that that's something that he needs. He did test with the UAs that he did take, he tested negative. The one UA that he missed, he went back the following day, took the UA, and was again negative. But I think even in talking to him, he still was, you know, not real clear. He denies any problem. But I don't know if there's a way to put him in when he gets a comprehensive psych evaluation. Is there a way, maybe, Mr. Wesley, is there a way, a program that they could put him in?
Generally, we have a psych evaluation that's done when they're prior to being released from prison, and we'll have somebody that will work with them when they get released. Now, CHC, Ms. Carol Coughlin, who had sent that email that gave a description of what happened, she's the clinical lead at CHC. There are other services that may be available that they can be referred to, but generally the person has to be diagnosed as SMI to fall into those categories. And with his mental health score that he had evaluated as one, he would have to have a whole other evaluation done. And generally that's something that at prison, the psych unit, at his unit, would do an evaluation on him. And I was looking to see if there was anything that was updated on a score, but it doesn't look like they've done that yet. But he's still showing a mental health score of 1, which would not make him eligible for SMI treatment. But generally, if there's something that happens at the psych department, generally,
we need
to go ahead and give him a referral.
This just says that, I don't know if this is something that just happened, but it says that he was volatile while in a manic, delusional state. I don't know if that's something that could just come and go, but it appears, at least by reading, you know, by reading what she's wrote in here, it appears that Ms. Coughlin has some clinical experience, you know, the way that this is just wrote up, and she just said this is something that just happened over the past 2 weeks, and she didn't think that outpatient treatment would be appropriate for him at this time. So he needs some type of inpatient treatment is basically what she's saying.
That would be a correct interpretation of her email. And being that she is the site supervisor for CHC, that's generally the resource that we utilize for our offenders in our supervision.
So I don't know what we can do. I don't know if incarcerating them and keeping them incarcerated is the answer, or if there's some inpatient treatment that he'll be able to receive. Though he did violate and he did refuse to take the oral swab, but even when we began the hearing and we were explaining to him about he could get an attorney or he'd have to hire an attorney for himself, he still didn't see. Seemed totally clear until we explained it to him a few times. So I don't know what if there's a different option other than incarceration.
We take the panel back for a moment, Mr. Westby. Should this board vote to return to community supervision and check the provision for mental health treatment, what is the usual process for what happens after that point? Because I don't think that's something that I've experienced sitting on this board up to this point?
Well, there is inpatient treatment facility that is in Mesa that is a possibility, but generally, like I said, that's one where they are having an evaluation done in a prison where they are deemed as SMI, and so they're sent there. Out of the way that we have with our unit, that we have a mental health unit that's on supervision, they're going to outpatient treatment programs such as CHC, and they're coming in and they're reporting, so they're not in an inpatient program. Generally, that's going to be something that is coming when they're released. They will be in a mental health unit, for example, like asthma unit or flumeco.
I guess my last question is the circumstances under which he was returned to the Department of Corrections, they're aware that there was a flag, so to speak, about his behavior that would suggest that they need furthers?
Yes, that was correct. From what I'm reading in the chronicles, there was because of Mr. Osborne, you know, questioning him about his discharge and his unwillingness to, I mean, because for the notes here, from the description on it, you know, it just pretty much all indicated in the warrant, an allegation, and then the programming section there, that's, they were trying to, you know, find out if he was having, you know, if he was under the influence of drugs, and, you know, if the only way to be able to do that would have been able to take a saliva test, drugs, a screen house, screening for drugs, and because of him refused to do that, and that was, he was considered that he would be a danger to the public, and he was returned to custody.
Thank you, Mr. Rusby. Anything else, Mr. Johnson?
No.
Well, fellow board members, we do have to make some very tough decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona, and I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land. And that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W0526, as well as our discussion with Mr. Rivas and information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Rivas was delinquent, violating the terms and conditions of his supervision and had allowed for his about to lapse with the noise company, inasmuch that he refused to submit to an all-swap under his conditions of release, and it would seem that he was having some sort of behavioral issue while he was under community supervision, and that is my motion.
Second. Agree.
I disagree.
Okay. And that's seconded by Mr. Neal, disagreed by Mr. Johnson. Dr. Wright?
Agree.
And agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Rivas, your supervision has been revoked and you'll be released on or about March 16, 2019. We recognize that this is a unique case, and we highly suggest you pursue any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections in the coming months. And we do wish you a safe, healthy, and productive return to the community in March of 2019. We take no pleasure in this decision, but we do have to make hard decisions, often in the interest of public safety and the information that's provided to us by the Department of Corrections. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you.